Welcome to a new special episode of the Nightcast podcast. My name is Michelle Veluzzi. I'm a community member here in New Milford and also a parent of two students in the New Milford School District. For those of you who've listened before, you know that we typically broadcast from New Milford High School, and we share information about education, activity, and programs going on at that level. But we'd like to bring you a special episode today, and I'm going to speak with Superintendent Michael Polizzi. We hope that we can share information about what's going on in the district right now, and as best we can, look ahead. We all know that these days that is certainly a challenge. And one thing I do want to point out to all of you listeners is we are recording this on Monday afternoon, April 27th. We've learned that with the current state of the world, things change. Information comes out daily that we may not have expected the day before. So it'll take us a few days to edit and produce this podcast. So when you listen to it, it's possible that information is a little bit different from what you hear us say. We think and hope that most of what you hear will still be accurate and relevant, but please just keep that in mind. So hello, Mr. Polizzi. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing well. Thank you. It's nice to hear your voice. I find it's so nice to speak to people these days, family, friends, professional connections. It's so nice to talk to people.
You're right. And, you know, we're hearing the same thing from many of our students who, regardless of the content, they're happy to see their teachers or hear their voices. Maintaining that contact has been so important. And we've been very fortunate that we have the technology to support that.
So tell us, how's it going? How's the online school going so far?
Well, needless to say, it's been a challenge. However, it's going well. The students have been phenomenal. Our faculty, our staff in general, they have been phenomenal. And I have to say they've been going above and beyond, not only in terms of reaching out to the students and providing them with support basically all day and sometimes into the evening hours, but support for the kids, support for their families as well, and support for services outside of the school district, especially for those students who need better support, emotional support, et cetera, et cetera. So it's going well. If I could describe a fairly typical day in my life, being sequestered at home also, I'm in pretty regular routine conversations with members of the child study team, with our counselors, with various teacher groups, certainly with our school administrators and our central office administrators, members of the board, because it's our goal is to at least in a simulated remote kind of fashion continue what you might expect of a routine operation. So things continue. Budget preparation continues. Curriculum continues. Communication with the New Milford COVID-19 Task Force. We have weekly conversations every Thursday. Office of Emergency Management is part of that. EMT is part of it. The police department, certainly the mayor and council representatives are part of that. Board of Health and so on and so forth. So in that kind of environment, you have schooling that is going well. We were well prepared. We do continue to make some adjustments here and there because the system is not perfect, but we have responded on a consistent basis. Sometimes there are glitches in the technology. Sometimes students have problems with their devices, and we have systems in place to support those things. Mm-hmm. So I think generally speaking, it's going well. And when I hear what's happening in a number of other districts across the state, I think we're most definitely ahead of the curve.
Yeah, I would agree with you. And I still marvel at thinking back. And I mean, they left school on Friday, I guess that was March 13th. And Monday morning at 8 a.m., you know, I overheard both of my children having live classes with their teachers. So I know that a great deal of preparation and effort went into making that transition happen so quickly.
It was quick. I will say that. It's not as though we had months to prepare, but we did have a couple of weeks to prepare for this. As soon as there were signs we read or saw that there were signs of school closing in the state, certainly with the increase of positive testing and mortality as well, and unfortunately, we put things in motion. So we did have a solid 2 weeks to prepare, beginning with a relatively large meeting with many stakeholders that we had at DEO. I guess it was 2 weeks before we closed. And fortunately, also, we had enough technology in place and support of so many people. Listen, while I have this on my mind, I do want to make a point of thanking everyone, including so many of the parents. We know that we have, and we haven't done any surveys, but we know that we have a fairly significant percentage of families where the parents are first responders, whether they're healthcare workers or medical workers, hospitals, doctors' offices, emergency services, police department, and so forth. And I can't thank all of them for what they're doing. They understand perhaps better than anyone what the challenges are, and the support we've been getting from them, including at the borough level, has just been tremendous.
Can you explain to us at this point in time what needs to happen for a school district such as New Milford to be able to reopen?
That's a great question. Well, the first thing that has to happen is the directive coming from Governor Murphy has to take place, where he gives school districts the green light. And certainly, if you've been listening to any of his press conferences, you'll know that how things progress, let's say, in Hamilton, New Jersey, might be very different from what happens in New Milford or Hackensack or Teaneck. Mm-hmm. Just within Bergen County, there is quite a diversity in terms of the nature of the experience that individual towns are going through. So the first thing that would have to happen is that Governor Murphy gives us the directive or the okay to reopen schools. But that it's really not that simple, because mm-hmm. you have to look at the individual town experience. You look at the number of positive cases. You look at mortality rates in a particular town. You look at testing. So in my opinion, I don't think that it would be very responsible to open just because we are told that we can open. I think we have to have many things in place, including the testing factor. We're not going to bring students together. We're not going to bring staff together if there is a significant risk of infection. And we don't want to be part of the problem of losing all the ground that we have gained because we're anxious to reopen. I think we've got to continue to be very, very patient. And as we speak, my conversations with administrators and with borough administrators and school administrators also is focusing on preparations for what happens at the end of the year if schools can reopen. How do we stage that? So we're putting those plans together. And what happens if we don't reopen? Mm-hmm. What happens during the summer? What happens in September? So we're putting together a variety of contingency plans that considers all of those. And testing is going to be a big part of it.
Yeah, and that's true for schools. It's true for every facet of society. I feel like the testing is one of the number one factors.
That's right. And certainly New Milford is no exception to that. You know, the first month, I would say, well, the first 3 weeks plus the spring break in there, I think homeschooling was still very much a novelty. I don't think it's a novelty anymore. You know, mm-hmm. the reality has set in. I think people are increasingly understanding that we're into this for the long haul. I don't know how long that's going to be. So part of it becomes an aspect of patience. We have to endure. We have to learn how to be more creative, more innovative with what we do. Forget about schooling. Let's just talk about, you know, family relations and maintaining a household with multiple people in it and mm-hmm. continue to be happy and resourceful. These are not easy things. And those are critical aspects of how we move forward.
Mm-hmm. Agreed. I wonder if you could talk about when the time comes that schools do reopen and Governor Murphy lifts statewide restrictions. Do you think that individual districts would have the option to say, we're not ready yet?
My understanding, I participated in we have a superintendent roundtable meetings, and very recently that question was posed to our executive county superintendent. Mm-hmm. And it is quite possible. And again, we've got nothing concrete on this, but it's quite possible that the governor would give some discretion to the individual districts based on what is happening in that district and the level of preparedness. I can say that we will be prepared to respond should schools open, but is it responsible to open those schools? Mm-hmm. And I understand that many districts, particularly in Bergen County, which has been hit particularly hard in the state of New Jersey, that most districts that I'm in communication with, and there are 72 of them in Bergen County alone, are considering contingency plans. What if yes, what if no? And having a viable plan in place for that. But I think that schools, individual districts, may have the discretion to open or not.
Okay.
I don't know that, but I think that's a logical assumption in many respects.
Mm-hmm. Agree. I also think about now, so let's say the statewide restriction is lifted, and let's say New Milford is reopening. It has been deemed that it's appropriate in this community. What if a family does not want to send their children to school yet? Maybe they're not comfortable on a personal family level. Is it possible to foresee what that situation might look like for that family?
We are considering it. And that was another question that was posed at our superintendent's roundtable, and we don't have any real guidance on that yet. But let's think about the options, and one of those options might be a continuation of the distance learning that has been taking place beginning on the 16th of March, and you know, continuing that process. If that's a significant number, I think you know it's important to support families. So any decision that we make internally as a district has to consider what is happening at the home level. My understanding is that there has been, I know that there's been tremendous cooperation so far, but let's face it, people are afraid today. Mm-hmm. So when does that fear go away? When does that concern go away? And I think we have to look at history also. And you look at the Spanish flu at the early part of the 20th century and how the message that went out was that, well, we're over the flu. And that combined with the end of World War I brought everybody out to celebrate. And mm-hmm. that celebration itself, all right, triggered a whole second wave where thousands of additional lives were lost as a result of it. We have to be cognizant of that and learn from that. And we'll be best advised by the CDC, the World Health Organization, the medical professionals who are really on the front lines of this, especially the epidemiologists and the infectious disease professionals to advise us in that way. And mm-hmm. that's something that is really critical going forward. So we have to be patient and hear what they have to say.
Mr. Polizzi, can you explain to us what the current directive is from Governor Murphy and the state level?
The message is that schools will be closed at least until May 15th. And there is some thinking that it's possible, but only possible, that closures will continue through the end of May and then possibly reopen in June. So that, and I think, by the way, you know, on some levels, from a psychological, emotional level, if we can open it, if we're safe to open it, that's a big caveat. If we are safe to open, I think it's important to open. I think it's important to bring some closure to the year, to meet with students again, to be able to assess where they are academically, so that wherever we pick up, whether it's you know, through the creation of a summer bridge program or a curriculum in September, how do we pick up in a way that's fair to students?
Yeah, and certainly that word closure, I've been thinking about that a lot as a parent of two children, both of whom are in their last year at the school level they are in. So that's a big factor, you know, especially for young children and adolescents. That closure, it's a big part of their development. So I agree with you. Thinking about whenever that date is, when schools reopen, is it possible now to share a little about what schools are planning, New Milford specifically, about new safety and cleaning procedures that might be implemented?
It is possible to talk about it in some contexts. I can tell you that there will be a more beefed up. All the schools at this point have been thoroughly sanitized, every room. And right now, if an administrator or a staff member needs to enter the building or an office, that space is immediately cleaned, sanitized, disinfected. And that's something that happens. Staff are encouraged not to show up, even though they do. And we have some skeleton crews on hand on a rotating basis, and maintaining all aspects of social distancing and so forth. But so imagine the need for something like that, and what that means in terms of staffing and time on a daily basis. We are looking at maintaining that. So if the infection level is at a point where that's something we have to do on a daily basis, it doesn't make sense to open, does it?
Right. Yep. Yeah. And as you said earlier, this would clearly be one of the main indicators.
That's true. But we've also ordered, and I don't believe they've come in yet, but we have ordered masks and gloves, because we have to anticipate, and what will school look like if we return? Right. And there are a number of districts, we're not necessarily considering this, but there are some districts, they're looking at doing, you know, a half day in the morning and a half day in the afternoon to reduce class sizes. And we can't be, there are no guarantees who these students come in contact with, or, you know, whether it's their parents, people in the community, and the same thing with staff as well. So that's really important for us. So I'm not really sure how things are going to play out, but we've got to consider all of that. We do have a significant number of PPE that are on order that, you know, should we go back to school, does that mean that everyone wears a mask? Does that mean everyone wears gloves? How do you maintain the cleanliness of those? Or is that something that you take, throw away, and replace? So there's a lot of things that have to be considered.
Okay, shifting focus a little bit and speaking about some specific groups of students, can you tell us about seniors? If the prom and senior graduation cannot take place, what are the plans as of now? And also speak to plans for younger students, end of year activities and moving up ceremonies at the middle and elementary levels as well.
Yeah, I'll talk about the elementary and middle school first, because they're certainly less complicated. It is conceivable we could have moving up ceremonies. we could have a middle school promotion, and we could hold those in September. They don't necessarily have to be completed at the end of the year, so they can be postponed. High school graduation, though, I mean, the senior year is the terminal year of a high school experience. And those seniors are going off in, 100 different directions at that point. We do have a meeting scheduled for this week. It's a high school, I'm not going to say it's a specifically graduation, but one of the biggest focuses is going to be on, what to do, how to manage a celebration that recognizes the achievement of our seniors in particular after so many years of hard work. And there are some interesting ideas that are on the table. I'm not in a position to share those at this point because it's really very much a dialogue right now, but there's some very creative ideas that are out there that we're looking at in a way that recognizes the student achievement and gives us as a school district, our teachers and the community an opportunity to celebrate their successes. And also recognizes how our seniors in particular have stepped up to meet the challenges that they face because of COVID-19. You know, it's kind of interesting, and this is something that we learn, and it becomes we've become so much more confident in our students as human beings. And that's mm-hmm. always been an important part of our district mission. And, what they are doing and the level of responsibility, self-imposed responsibility, maintaining work ethic going forward, and how they've taken this so seriously and are using those attitudes to help guide them toward their success as students. So that's something that I could not be, and I think the community should not be prouder of. That is so important. You know from your own experience, from your own children.
That's right. That's right. So important. And that's wonderful to hear. It really is. It's also good to hear, that there are some plans in the works and understood that they can't be shared yet because it's a dialogue and it's emerging. But such milestones as a senior, prom, graduation, all that goes along with those events. And like you said, that they need to be marked, even if it's in a different way, should be celebrated. The third week of March, when school shifted to online learning, was the high school musical production planned week of performances. And I know they were doing Seussical the Musical this year. So there was the high school musical production. Of course, there were spring concerts and other activities. Can you speak for a moment about what the plans are for those types of events at this point in time?
In all likelihood, we will not be bringing groups of students together for any more than we have to. And certainly if schools do not reopen this year, those opportunities will not exist. All trips, all large events like that have essentially been canceled for the remainder of the year. So I think we can envision an end of year without those typical kinds of celebrations. I know that there are some teachers who are trying to work with their students, on the performing arts level, musically in particular, where there may be some opportunity for them to share their talents with the community in a virtual setting. And certainly we can look at, now it would be interesting, and this is something that is devoid of seniors, that it is conceivable that we open up the year at some time in the fall, if we can. We open up with perhaps a fall musical or fall concert, so that the effort that the students have put in preparing for these kinds of events, and our kids are incredibly talented, and it would be a shame not to be able to see some of that, but it is conceivable that we can have some special events in the year as a way of not only celebrating the achievement of students and their gifts, their performance, musical gifts, but as a way of celebrating that, yes, the New Milford community, the students of New Milford have successfully forged their way through a critical health crisis, and let's do something to praise that. Yeah. So there are opportunities. Again, nothing firm at this point, but all of those things are under discussion.
Mm-hmm. Good to hear. Okay, so Mr. Polizzi, any final thoughts or advice or anything else that you'd like to share with the district, with the community?
Patience would be among them. I mean, I find myself being involved in a daily work-related activities by the end of the day and sometimes into the evening. It's exhausting. So I think finding those practices that keep us mentally, emotionally healthy, that may involve doing things differently, taking on new interests, developing other interests, I think that's really important because, as I said earlier, you know, this is something that is important for us to not only endure, but to come out on the other end as stronger individuals with renewed or deepened commitment to our own self-development. Mm-hmm. Education is a key aspect of self-development. So, you know, maintaining that and recognizing that, yes, okay, it's challenging now, but it's something that is in our own best interest and health to stick with it. Mm-hmm. So patience is really important. Creativity, again, very important. Take up something new if you can, if you have the resources, music, song, dance. I very often refer to the arts, of course, because that's more my background or my mm-hmm. interest in those areas. Reading, working with family as opposed to battling with family, letting some things go, and you know, just understanding the value of working together with your family members cooperatively. I come from a big family. There were seven children in my family, and you know, I can just remember mealtimes. Well, some of those mealtimes were great, and we could actually digest our foods. Others, though, you know, were difficult because everybody had the best idea. Everybody had the most important, the most valuable thing to say. So, you know, those things I think are important to let go. You know, just understand that we're all in this together. So let's help one another get through it together.
Well, I thank you for talking to me and to all of those who are listening today. You know, it's helpful to hear the stage that we're at and to hear some of what is going into the online schooling and to what might be ahead. So I really thank you for your time. And I also want to extend a thank you to the teachers, the staff, the administrators, and everyone who's been working to make this online schooling as successful as possible. And it's quite successful for our students here. So thank you to all of you.
Thank you also. We can't do it without the support of parents. We can't do it without the support of the community. We can't do it without the support of our local leaders, whether it's police, fire, Department of Public Works, the borough administrators, our mayor and council, and certainly all those other people that are our own professional staff who are providing support sometimes 24/7. We couldn't do it without that level of cooperation. And this is also true of our Teachers Association, who has stepped up and supported and offering, you know, full cooperation with all kinds of initiatives. We all understand that we're in the same boat together, and we want to keep that boat afloat going forward. Yeah. So thank you to all of them. And thank you, Michelle, for your interest in putting this together.
You're quite welcome. It was a pleasure to speak to you, and I wish you and your family continued good health.
Thank you. Same to you. Thank you so much.
Thanks for listening to The Nightcast. Check us out at newmilfordschools.org/newmilfordhighschool. Look for us in your inbox from The Night. Find us on the New Milford High School Facebook page or at Mr. Manupelli's Twitter, @NMHS Principal.